listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on everybody, let's celebrate. Forget your worries, throw your problems away. Come on everybody, let's celebrate.
Show your smile
now.
Everybody, let's celebrate.
Welcome to the Village Celebration. We have a special guest today. I actually know our special guest today and have known her my entire life. This is Black Music Month. June is. And in Arkansas, the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center recognized two of the state's most outstanding gospel artists. Alberta Moman was one of them, and Pastor Cedric Hayes, the director of the Gloryland Children's Choir, the other. And in the studio today is Mrs. Moman to thousands in Arkansas and Mama Burt to me as her goddaughter. But this today is about her accomplishments as a musician. So how are you?
Hi, Vicki. Thanks for having me.
It is my absolute joy. Tell me about the recognition. Black Music Month, 42 years you directed the Greater Bradley District Choir. That is an amazing feat by any standards.
Yes, I was happy to be recognized for doing what I loved and what God blessed me to do over 40 years.
And so many people were blessed by your leadership of the choir. How in the world do you lead a choir for 42 years?
Well, in addition to loving them, and each one could feel my love, I made a lot of personal one-on-one contacts and followed up with my presence when there were deaths in the family.
Well, now that's true.
They just felt the love.
And it was not just love of music, it was love of your choir members as well. So was it more of a family than a choir?
Yes, we were family, absolutely.
42 years, two albums. Now, I remember the first one, and this was in the 70s, was it? I don't want to give away my age or anybody's age, but in the 70s, there were not a lot of gospel choirs. I mean, we think of James Cleveland and all of those luminaries, but right here in Arkansas, you had a choir that traveled the country, and you all recorded a project in the 70s. What was that like?
Oh, wow. It was some wonderful experiences with that recording. We carried over, well, first recording, we carried 45 down to Shreveport, Louisiana, and we recorded there. The second time, we carried the choir, plus almost 100 youth were with us. It was just really great. Awesome.
I do know that of all the singing and all the years and all the sacrifices, there are highlights. And as a child, I remember these trips that you all took because my mom was in the choir as well. Tell me about singing to inmates and where you rank that among the highlights.
Oh, I would say number one in our performances, because we would go once a year to the large prison down in Grady.
To Cummings.
Yes, Cummings. And they looked forward to having us, and we really had a great time. Vicki, they were the best audience.
Really?
Yes.
I think that would surprise maybe some of our listeners. Why and what made them, you think, the best audience or some of the best audiences?
I don't know. It's like they were so receptive to to our music, our songs, and our ministry in general. They just loved it. And I loved the way they gave standing ovations, and it was just really great.
They really received the ministry.
Yes.
I suppose so hungry for the word because of the isolation.
Yes, yes.
42 years, and you're the director emeritus for the Greater Bradley District Choir, but you also still lead a choir at Greater Three Fourths here in Little Rock as well. So you haven't gone away from music, and why is that?
Well, my love for it, and I will forever, just a lifetime experience of music in my heart.
God gifts each of us with a special talent, and no doubt music is yours. When did you realize this is a gift from God and this is where I work in the kingdom?
Oh, that was when I was 12 years old, back home in Bearden, Arkansas. And I love music, and I wanted to sing so. And my mother could not afford a piano, so I made a piano out of shoeboxes.
You made a piano out of shoeboxes?
Yes, and I had my notes, and I would be playing. And our family, we were fairly good singers, and we would harmonize, and it was just really good.
Well, you guys are great singers even today. You're a wonderful singer, but I cannot get my mind around this piano shoebox or this shoebox piano. What did that look like?
Well,
did it make a sound?
Well, you know, only the rhythm, the beat.
Okay. So you were playing it hard enough that you all had a rhythm.
Oh, yes, yes.
Really?
It was really fantastic.
Well, you can certainly play the ivories. I don't know about that shoebox piano.
And we harmonized so good. We did.
Well, I think that's one of the things that your choirs have been known for is the harmony. What would your advice be for any young musician who is looking for a long-term career serving God in the music ministry?
Well, you must first love the Lord. Love your music. Love music. All kinds of music. Because it's a ministry, and you've got to be willing to work hard and be dedicated.
That sounds like the recipe for a successful long-term career in music ministry. We have talked with one of Arkansas's most well-known gospel musicians, recognized recently during Black Music Month by the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center, Alberta Moman. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. Did you read this article in the newspaper?
The one about supporting our Black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org. The recent events in our country have created a grassroots effort to reallocate assets in a way that sustains and supports the African American community. Some are calling this movement Making Black or Move Our Money. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce, or USBC, and Liberty Bank have partnered to offer a credit card with a 9.9% interest rate. The U.S. Black Chambers and Liberty Bank working together in our community. For more information on the credit card, visit libertybank.net/affinity. Use promo code USBC. Hello and welcome back to the Village Celebration, and thank you for joining us for this special edition of our show as we celebrate Black Music Month. two of Arkansas's most well-known gospel musicians are joining us. They've been recognized by the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center. We spoke with Mrs. Alberta Moman, and now joining us is Pastor Cedric Hayes, who is the director of the Gloryland Children's Choir. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
How many voices are we talking?
Well, it depends, but on the average, it's about 25.
They must have a lot of power.
Oh, yeah. They're power-packed.
Power-packed? How old?
I think the youngest is three.
The youngest is three? How adorable.
Oh, they're adorable, but that three-year-old can sing.
Really?
Yes.
And how do you identify a singing three-year-old?
Well, it's like this. I'll put it this way. They come here gifted.
Amen.
You have to be able to see the gift in them and then have the ability to pull that gift out.
How do you get a three-year-old?
Easy.
Stand still.
Easy. If they can grab a cell phone at 6 months old and be able to work it backwards
Which
and forwards.
Which they do.
3 years old is like 10 years old.
So how did the choir come together?
I started the choir in, it was 2008. Matter of fact, it was 6 months before the Shout Hallelujah Showcase. My baby daughter, she always sung with the adult choir, and she had a few of her little buddies, and they wanted to sing with the adult choir, too. And I said, your voices are not mature enough.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided I would just put a little pet choir together, a little kiddie choir for them, because I didn't want to deny them the opportunity to use their
God.
Gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the first rehearsal. There was about 12 of them. And I made the mistake of saying, what do you want to sing? And what they said to me was, we want to sing what the adult choir sings. And I said, I don't think y'all ready for that. Oh, yes, we are. I don't think you're ready for that. And then they said, play it, Pastor. At that point, I played the song. They sung it with parts.
They did?
Yes. And here's what I didn't know. While they were playing under the pews while I was teaching the adults, they had already learned the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, I said, I got something. And I decided to do something different with them than I did with most choirs. I decided to train them like I trained the adults. To get an adult sound. And that's why they sound like an adult choir. If you listen to them, you say, no, that's not, you know,
that's
4 or 5 year olds.
Choir.
That's not 12 year olds. That's not 17 years old. But they will sing exactly what you teach them. And they'll sing it exactly the way you instruct them to sing it. And so that's been the cornerstone as far as the choir is concerned.
It sounds like that same type of philosophy where if you talk to a child like he or she understands, then he or she will understand.
Oh,
they
yes.
will learn words that adults use, the good words.
No, they learn the bad ones, too.
I wasn't going there, Pastor, but
I'll go
but
there.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. If they will cuss you out at three, then they can praise the Lord at three.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Now, you all have some projects under your belt. Tell us about those.
Yes. I think I'll start with Dr. Bobby Jones. We toured with him in East St. Louis.
Now, the Dr. Bobby Jones.
Yes, the Dr. Bobby Jones.
What was that like?
It was enlightening. Let's put it this way. There was a guy who was a radio announcer in St. Louis, and he was the one that put together the tour with us with him. And I had met this guy, Chuck Spearman. And Chuck knew my adult choir. When he called me, he said, I need your choir, man, for 2 days. I said, I got a new choir. And he said, oh, hey, man, great. And I said, it's a children's choir. He got real quiet.
Because when you say children's choir.
Yeah, because first thing he got in his mind, he's got the whole world in his hand, and Jesus loved little children. I told Chuck, I said, Chuck, trust me on this. Just trust me. And he said, okay. And so I brought the children's choir to St. Louis and East St. Louis. And the moment he heard them, his eyes lit up because he had never heard anything like that before. And at that point, he called BET and said, I usually don't pick who goes on my show. The producers do that. He said, but I got to have them on the show. And that's how we wind up in Washington, D.C. on BET on his show.
That is fantastic. And for the children, what was that like? What did they say?
Well, let me tell you about them. They kind of just take it as it comes. For us, we would say, wow.
BET.
To them, let's get on the bus and let's go. And it doesn't matter to them where it is. Mm. It doesn't matter to them who it is.
The beauty of youth, the innocence.
Exactly. But it doesn't bother them. I mean, they've done some tremendous stuff over these last 8-9 years. They've opened up for Harlem Globetrotters. They've opened up for Kirk Franklin twice. We just recently, last season, we were on NBC's America's Got Talent. And so...
That gave me goosebumps.
Really?
Really. I mean, to know that there are young children with that much talent, and there's someone willing to cultivate that talent all in the name of praising God.
Yes, yes. They're wonderful. They're down to earth. I don't talk to them like children. I talk to them just like an adult, and we communicate that way. I seem to have this niche with children. I don't try to get on their level. You know, I just sit there and say, no, that's the wrong note. I need this one. And they just go ahead and give me exactly what I'm asking for. I'm very disciplined with them because that's really been the key to their success is the discipline. And I don't just teach music. I teach life. Mm. And so when I say I teach life, if there's something that's difficult for them, I let them know this is the way life is going to be. And you don't back down. You don't get afraid. You hit it head on. You go for it. When they grow up, and some of them have grown up over the last 8 years, 8-9 years, and some of them are doing some awesome and wonderful things.
Are they still singing?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I got one that's up in Jonesboro. That young lady, she has, matter of fact, her senior year, she starred as the star of The Wiz. And so,
excellent.
She had all the leading role, all of the songs. She did 16 songs in The Wiz. And she said, well, Pastor, I want to thank you. And I said, thank me for what? She said, you prepared me for this. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm supposed to be there. And because of that, I'm so proud of her. So proud of her.
Anything else you would like for them to do? I mean, it seems that you guys have already done so much. Are there projects in the works?
Matter of fact, yes, just recently. 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call from a national recording artist out of New York, New York. And they want us to send our project up to them to be on a compilation CD. And matter of fact, it's coming out in June. Mm. And the same 2 weeks, that same week, we got an invitation to go to Africa.
Wow, that is just fantastic.
So we're going
to
the motherland.
Africa? I love that. When you come back, you have to join us again and tell us all about it.
Sure.
Pastor Cedric Hayes, the director of the Glory Land Children's Choir, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations again on your honor.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to The Village Celebration.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org. Welcome to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. This segment is for parents who are looking for good books for their children, who, of course, are out for the summer and in some cases just might be saying, Mom, Dad, I'm bored. Well, how about reading? Joining me now is LaTanya Richardson, who is an author and an instructor at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. I love the pictures in your book and the story, and so everyone knows the title and just how wonderful it is. Let's start at the beginning. The title is Going on a Bear Hunt.
Yes.
And where did you get that idea? Because this ties in a number of good elements. So,
My cousin's little boys, we were down home for family reunion, and they come out of the house with their uncle. Mom, we're going on a bear hunt. And, you know, it wasn't that they said they were going on a bear hunt, but what they said after that, and I told one of them I would love to hear about their bear hunt on tomorrow, the next day. Uh-huh. And he said, we're going on a bear hunt. We may or may not come back.
Oh, my.
I was like, okay. And I thought that was so funny. And then she says, well, Aiden, what about your shoes? And he stopped and he looked at her all perplexed. Boys who wear shoes or boys who hunt bear don't need shoes.
Are you serious?
And I thought that was the cutest thing. And that stuck with me. I had to write it down. I wrote it down right then. So it just ate at me and ate at me for weeks until I, you know, one night couldn't sleep, got up, and I wrote the first draft of Going on a Bear Hunt.
Oh, my gosh. I just love that boys who go on bear hunts don't wear shoes.
No. So in the pictures in the book, the little boys, they don't have shoes.
The illustrations are so vivid. I absolutely love it. You must see this book. So we don't want to do a spoiler alert because, you know, like Aiden said, they may not come back. And so you need to read the book so you know whether or not they do. So where can we get a copy of the book?
Wherever books are sold. Online locations, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Create Space. You can go to your local bookstore, and they can order it for you. So just anywhere books are sold.
Now, you have children and grandchildren, so you know summers can stretch on for what seems like an entire year.
Forever.
So parents are looking for ways to entertain their children. Let's talk about the significance of books, not just during the summer, but of course throughout the school year, and why, as an author, you chose this way to educate children.
Well, I often tell children, as well as my own, when they were coming up, open a book and you can go to anywhere, you know, without leaving the comforts of your own home, favorite chair, your bed, and you can travel to places you've only thought about or dreamed about just by taking adventure and opening up a book. And it is more than just the adventure. By reading, you learn new words. Your vocabulary just flourishes, and readers are leaders. You know, and that's what I tell kids all the time. Readers are leaders. Your dentist. Do you want to be a dentist that hasn't read what to do and how to do and didn't, you know, just kind of skip through dental school? No, you don't. And so reading is fundamental. It's more than just a saying. It's necessary.
It sure is, and I love the readers are leaders. And it seems that this message is not lost on children, some children. Recently in the news, we've heard about a little boy and a little girl, just separate cities, starting book clubs. What do you think of that type of leadership from peers?
I think it's amazing because sometimes, you know, our kids or kids we're around, they don't want to hear from an adult that you should read this book. But if their friend says, hey, this book is cool and you should read it, it's something about those kids that are leaders in their or influencers in their area with their friends. it makes a difference. You know, what parents don't know anything, of course.
Of course.
You know, old folky ideas. But their peers who they think have it going on, they know everything, right?
Yes, of
course. So if they suggest, you know, this is a good book, or let's have a book club, or help me raise 1,000 books, you know, then everybody's in.
Yeah, I love that idea. Help me raise 1,000 books. And all of a sudden, as you say, it's cool to read and to raise books. More important for African-American children to read or not, do you think?
I think so. Not just any kid, but I've not been any kid. I've been an African-American kid, and I've raised African-American children, and I have African-American grandchildren coming along. So it is important for me, for these little brown kids, to be able to read in a society where they're deemed already behind. So if they're reading and being able to keep up, then they can flourish and compete later. And it's not just about reading a book and doing a book report or something right now, but it's looking ahead to what you're able to do. My pastor says all the time, your learning is a direct reflection of your earnings later. And it doesn't have to always be, you know, in class or in school, but you're learning when you're reading. You're learning new words. You're learning about new places, new concepts, new ideas, just by opening a book. And it doesn't have to be the biggest book. It can be just a simple book.
And it activates the imagination, like going on a bear hunt. This is not your first bear hunt, so to speak. You've written.
I like that.
You have written another book, and you have other books in you. Let's talk about your career as an author. Where do you see it going, and can you give us a preview of books to look forward to in the next several years?
Yeah, where I see it going, as you said, years ago, I did Mama's Got Eyes in the Back of Her Head was my first book.
Which scares every kid.
I didn't know what in the world I was doing. But I wrote a book, and right now I'm working on revamping that book and making it industry standard. And with beautiful pictures, like going on a bear hunt, I want beautiful pictures. And we know a lot of children want to see color and things, you know, catch their attention and help them bring them into the book. So I want to revamp that book. And I have other ideas, and I don't want to stop. I want, you know, at first I said I wanted to be like Barbara Park, but there's been only one Barbara Park, and all I could do is be second best to, you know, being Barbara Park. I just want to be me and tell my stories. I have a lot of stories. There are kids out there who don't see themselves in books, and I want kids to see themselves in my book.
What do they call it? Text to self. And like you said, our children in particular. So retirement, you see, followed by more books. I know a lot of college students will be disappointed, but when you move on to that next phase of writing books for young children.
It says I want to have Mama's Got Eyes in the Back of Her Head out by this year, and I see myself doing at least 2 more books next year, maybe at the beginning of the year and the end of the year, or somewhere in the middle. But my goal right now, and I haven't written the goal down, so after I say this, I'm going to write it down, but I would like to do 2 books a year.
Well, now that you have announced it, you do have to do it.
Sometimes they say that's
a good way to do things. Announce it and then make your actions coincide with your words. LaTonya Richardson, author, college professor, mother, wife, grandmother, and friend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
We enjoyed it. We look forward to the next books. You're listening to The Village Celebration. The contents of this broadcast are the exclusive property of The Village Celebration. Any duplication, rebroadcast, or any other use is strictly prohibited, and it is not permitted without the express written consent of The Village Celebration.